taken my verse from that part of the chapter. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Today is the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And as Edward says, we are the happiest of people, those who know Christ. But that birth of Jesus was announced for all who could see by a star. Is it wonderful to have a star above us at the moment? Star of David. Stars are wonders of the night sky. Now, stars to the Jews were not only distant suns, as we say today, for we see distant suns in the sky and we see them twinkling away there, but they're anything, any light in the sky, be it a sun, a moon, a comet, or a meteorite. But no matter what they are in the night sky, let us not forget their purpose. For it was on the fourth day of creation, and God said it was to give light upon the world. In fact, it's almost an afterthought. If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 17, let's see what an afterthought it was. Let's read from 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Isn't it wonderful the way that God creates things? He creates that sun and the moon. And then he says, I made the stars as well. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. That is their purpose, to give us light. And we're fascinated by stars. We've watched them over the centuries, used them to guide us when we were travelling before GPS and sat-navs. In fact, I think some people should still use the stars because they follow their sat-navs religiously, even down into canals and lakes and lorry drivers into narrow streets and lanes and countries. We use them to guide ships by night. We're fascinated by them. We've sent telescopes into orbit around our planet so that we can get a better view of the stars. You know, we've got a better view of our solar system as well. For they would be included in the stars for the Jews. And you know, it tells of God's glory. The evolutionists would have it that dust gathered together to make the planets. But the planets tell us a story that say, that's not possible. Mercury is meant to be a small little planet. It's not meant to have a magnetic field. And yet, inside it, there is liquid, molten iron. It's not meant to have that. But God has created it like that. There are moons going around planets that go the wrong way. They're not meant to do that. They're all meant to go the same way. But there are some moons going around the wrong way. There are some planets tilted over. They're all meant to be standing up at an angle like that, but they're tilted over onto their side. It's as if God has said to man, you can look at the stars, you can look at the planets, you can have your own little theories, but you will see that I've created things uniquely. You see, the stars are abused by man. They abuse God's creation. Not to guide them in different places and different ways, down to different countries and all over the planet. People use them to guide their destinies. They have astrology. They have reading the stars. They have their horoscopes. People have and still do worship the stars, especially our local star, the sun, Sol. Do you know, one of the purposes of putting these telescopes in space is to find a star that will have planets around it. And one of those planets will be like the Earth. They're trying ever so desperately to find another planet like Earth so that they might find life, even intelligent life. Yet we are God's special creation. We are unique to the universe. People seek other things other than God in different places. They want to get rid of that idea of God and put their ideas in his place. You see, people view stars in different ways. They have different perspectives. And it clouds the way they perceive Jesus, the Son of God. The star that these wise men followed, we don't know what it was. We don't know whether it was a conjunction of planets, as they say, all coming together. We don't know whether it was a comet. We don't know whether it was a meteorite. Or was it just God's glory showing them the way? It doesn't matter. What matters is that they saw a star and it announced Jesus' birth. The Magi, the wise men, for they were the ones who followed the star. They understood its appearance. Its appearance to mean that the Christ, the King of the Jews, was to be born. They appear to have the correct view of the star. Why? Because they had read the Jewish scriptures. They had mulled over the Jewish scriptures. They understood what the scriptures said. There's one in particular, it comes from Numbers 24. And it says, it's verse 17. And it says, I see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall be a star out of Jacob. There shall be a star out of Jacob, out of Israel. There shall be a star that appears, and it will announce him. And out of all the people, only these wise men seem to understand. Where were the wise men of the Jews? Where were even the lowly scribes? For they all knew the scriptures. Why didn't they see the star? Why didn't they understand? You know, it's the same today. We tell people about the gospel. We tell people about the light of the world. We explain it to them. We read the words of our Bibles. Yet they don't see. They don't perceive. They don't understand. I've been watching, I don't know if you've been watching, the BBC, the latest drama, The Nativity. And yes, they had the wise men coming. And there was many misconceptions and a few errors in it. But it brought it home to me that the Magi, the wise men, came because of a star. They came because it announced that God was doing something special. They came to find a baby. And what did they want to do? Worship him. That's what they did. They followed the star in the east and have come to worship him. Because they knew that he was God. For you don't worship anybody else but God. Who were these wise men? No one knows for sure. Some say they came from Babylon. You know, the latest theory is that they came from China. Which is remarkable, really, because, you know, Marco Polo, the great Venetian explorer, went to China. But do you know, as he was travelling, he came across a Persian village from which the villagers claimed the wise men started there. It does not really matter who they were, where they started. What matters is that they confirmed the prophecy of a star, declaring the birth of Christ. And for us, it showed that Gentiles were acceptable to God. For these were not Jews, but they could share in the worship of God. Their worship was acceptable. And as we accept Jesus as our Saviour, our worship is also acceptable. The star is used a number of times to pronounce Jesus. We have it in Revelation. Jesus tells us, if we heed his words, if we hear him, I will give him the morning star. He's given himself to us. And later in Revelations he says, I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. Is the star not apt for the person of Christ? As people look to the stars for their destinies, we look to the morning star. We look to Christ for our destiny, for our salvation and our forgiveness. These people are lost, but we've been found by the Saviour himself. We've been given safety. We've been given a home. We've been given the place in heaven itself. As people used to use the stars to guide themselves by, we also are guided by Jesus. We are guided by his Spirit. We are guided by his Word. For he is the Word. The Magi had the Jewish scriptures. We have that Old Testament as well. And we have the New Testament. And that, in the whole, guides us. It guides us in our daily lives. It lights up our life. The purpose of the stars is to bring light. Well, Jesus is our light. He is the true light. The light of the world. As I said, as people look for life around other stars, our star gives us life. Life eternal. Life everlasting. Life with the Father. God is actually wonderful. He uses the skies to confirm his word. We not only have the stars there, we also have the rainbow that God put up there to confirm his promise to us that he will not flood the world again. Not only that, he does amazing things in the sky. Only the other day we had a lunar eclipse where the shadow of the moon, where the shadow of the earth, exactly covers the moon. Is it not a wonder of God that he demonstrates his glory in his creation by the exactness of the passing of the shadow of the earth on the moon? Exactly covers it. And the reverse is true, that the solar eclipse, the moon exactly blocks the sun. It's not too big to obscure completely. It's not too small, as if it's just a speck in the sun's brightness. It exactly covers it. Creation actually declares the glory of God. Yet man still rejects God and rejects his Son. I've said that travellers, sailors, have used the stars to be guided by. And yet, when the clouds come over, you can't see them, can you? You mentioned foggy this morning. You can't see anything, can you? When the clouds are there, when it gets all foggy, you can't see the stars. And they would lose their way. Sometimes we too cloud the issues for people. Even ourselves. And sometimes we lose our way. Things become foggy for us. The word of God is obscured. Christmas, rather than the celebration of Jesus' birth, is so confused nowadays with worldly myths. The Star of David is dimmed by the enemy's attacks. The Star of David is obscured at times. Instead of the emphasis on Jesus' birth, we have mythical stories. We have Father Christmas. And yes, we enjoy the themes that are there. And yet it does obscure Christ. It dims what we should be celebrating. Even our carols sort of distort our view at times. And we sing some wonderful carols, and they celebrate Jesus' birth. Tradition has it there were three kings. And yet it doesn't say there were three kings. It tells us about the wise men. But we sing of three kings, don't we? See, these little things tend to lose the effect of the miraculous of Christ. The people of the world are without direction. They rejoice and are merry in their parties and their drunkenness. And like all but the Magi, miss the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning that God has sent his Son into the world to die for our sins. We see the pictures of the baby in the manger. And we hear those little sighs of ah from the children and from the parents as well. But the amazing thing is that God sent that little baby to us so that he could die for our sins. Even the gifts pronounce that. The gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, his kingship, his priesthood. And yet he's suffering as well. It says in Revelation, we who have heard and understood will receive the morning star. We will receive Jesus. We read Genesis at the beginning. Is it not apt that our scripture starts with light being given to the earth, the light of God? He announces, doesn't it? And there was light. You know, Revelation also finishes with light. Jesus says, I am the bright morning star. He says the Alpha and the Omega. He was the start and the finish. At the start, light was produced in the earth. And at the finish, there is light as well. It's difficult for us to see the full light of God, especially in a world of such darkness. But that which we do see, let us follow it. The Word of God, just as the Magi did. And then we, as they did, can rejoice with exceedingly great joy as we celebrate not only his birth, but also ours as well, because we are a new creation. We are a new people. We are worshippers of the true light. Let us pray.